All right. Isaiah chapter 30. The Bible says that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. I hope that doesn't apply to you. I hope you will hear the law of the Lord, which save the seers, that means the prophets, see not. And to the prophets, the preachers, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word, and trust in oppression and perverseness, and stay thereon. Therefore, this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. I believe this is one of the many scriptures in the Bible that describe America today, in particular American Christianity. We're going to be looking at some more scriptures today that describe America in general. But this describes American Christianity, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. I have been accused at times of being a doom and gloomer, believe it or not. I've been told I need to preach more uplifting and edifying messages. People want to feel good. They want to be encouraged. They want to be told everything will be all right. I do too. So they say to the seers, see not. Prophets, prophesy not. Prophesy smooth things. Today's message is not a smooth message. Sorry, but you're given fair warning. I'm sorry if you came to hear a smooth sermon today. But I believe, as a matter of fact, that doom and gloom is on the horizon for America. So does that make me a doom and gloomer? No, because I've got a bright future. I'm on the winning side. I'm no doom and gloomer. Although for America, doom and gloom is on the horizon. Because the Bible says, in Revelation 18, you have your Bible open to there too, Revelation 18. The Bible says in Revelation 18, verse 8, therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord who judgeth her. I'm here to tell you today, I believe these words in Revelation chapter 18, verse 8, apply directly and specifically to America. I'm going to explain today why I believe that these words apply specifically to America and what we should do about it. So, I want to read the entire chapter, actually Revelation 18, and then we'll say a word of prayer, and I'll get into the message. Revelation 18, verse 1. After these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven, saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her, even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself, and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, remember this verse, she saith in her heart, I sit as a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth, who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her, shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, For no man buyeth their merchandise any more. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all thine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in one hour so great riches has come to naught. And every shipmaster, and all the company in ships, and sailors, and as many as trade by sea, stood afar off, and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads, and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city wherewith were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in one hour she is made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee, and no craftsman or whatever of whatever craft he be shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of millstones shall not be heard, and the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee, and the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. By the way, not your presidents, you know, not your senators and congressmen, and your merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy the bankers. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord God, I pray that you would enlighten this passage to us today, that you would show us what this means and who this is. I pray, Lord God, that you would show us also what we are to do in this day. And help us, Lord, to take courage and to take heart, knowing that we are on the winning side. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I mentioned in the last message a couple weeks back on the false prophets of Babylon. For the last century, fundamental Christian eschatology has been dominated by two very dangerous and very blinding deceptions. Disarming deceptions. It has the church and Christians disarmed. The first dangerous deception is the mainstream pop doctrine of the pre-trib rapture of the church, the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, that the church will be removed from the world scene before the Antichrist is revealed or comes to power. And though this doctrine is a complete hoax, taught nowhere in Scripture, as we've proven in multiple messages, by the way, and as others are finally starting to do as well out there, the masses of those who call themselves Christians are still blinded by this great deception. Today's message is about the second dangerous deception that has blinded American Christians to the reality that exists in their own backyard, in their own nation. And that is this mainstream view that America is not mentioned in Bible prophecy. That America will simply fade from the world scene, perhaps after the pre-trib rapture, and it will lose its power, and then the Antichrist kingdom will arise in Europe as a revived Roman Empire. That's been the prevailing dominant view for the last 100 years. But I'm here to say that this thinking has been 100% wrong. America is in Bible prophecy. As I mentioned a couple of weeks back also in a message about the false prophets of Babylon, a statement made by S. Frank Logsdon, who was the senior pastor of Moody Memorial Church in Chicago. He said this, It is unthinkable that God, who knows the end from the beginning, would pinpoint such small nations as Libya, Egypt, Ethiopia, and Syria in the prophetic declaration and completely overlook the wealthiest and most powerful nation on earth. But he said, too long we have evaded the question. Too long have we summarily grouped our country with the so-called revived Roman Empire. Too long have we persisted in terming the USA in prophecy as one of the lion's cubs, thus giving her but an inferential mention in the shadow of a diminishing Britain. I do believe, and I have for many years, that indeed America is the daughter of Babylon that is mentioned throughout the Bible in such in Old Testament passages in Isaiah 47, Jeremiah 50 to 51, and also this passage right here in Revelation chapter 18. I believe that is America. And I believe that America will suffer the judgment that has been decreed against her by Almighty God, the only one who knows and declares the end from the beginning. I personally weep for the transition that I have seen in America in my lifetime, this once great nation of America that was once without a doubt a great Christian nation. God did shed His grace on America. And this land was at one time truly America the Beautiful. But the message today is that America the Beautiful has become America the Babylon. As Mr. Barack Hussein Obama rightly stated in a campaign speech in 2007, and has repeated, by the way, on multiple occasions with a somewhat blasphemous overtone. He said, whatever we once were, we're no longer a Christian nation. Mr. Hussein Obama admitted in that statement that America was once a Christian nation. He had to admit it because it's an undeniable fact of history. It's undeniable, even declared to be so by the U.S. Supreme Court in a few different decisions, especially in an 1892 decision of the Church of the Holy Trinity versus United States. And they, and in reference to multiple state constitutions and public documents acknowledging Christianity in general to be the accepted religion of America, the Supreme Court said this: there is no dissonance in these declarations, these multiple declarations. In other words, they're all in harmony. There is a universal language pervading them all, having one meaning. They affirm and reaffirm that this is a religious nation. These are not individual sayings, declarations of private persons. They are organic utterances. They speak the voice of the entire people. Remember, this is 1892. Well, because of a general recognition of this truth, the question has seldom been presented to the courts. Yet we find in Updegraff versus the Commonwealth, Pennsylvania case, it was decided that Christianity, general Christianity, is and always has been a part of the common law of Pennsylvania. Not Christianity with an established church and tithes and spiritual courts, but Christianity with liberty of conscience to all men. Amen. And in the case of People versus Ruggles, New York case, Chancellor Kent, the great commentator on American law, speaking as Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of New York, said, the people of this state, in common with the people of this country, profess the general doctrines of Christianity as the rule of their faith and practice. And to scandalize the author of these doctrines is not only, in a as, by the way, Barack Hussein Obama does, scandalize the author of these doctrines is not only, in a religious point of view, extremely impious, but even in respect to the obligations due to society, is a gross violation of decency and good order. There was a day when to say what Obama says about America, he'd have been stoned, maybe. I mean, it wouldn't have been accepted. They said the free, equal, and undisturbed enjoyment of religious opinion, whatever it may be, and free and decent discussions on any religious subject is granted and recurred. You're free to disagree. But to revile with malicious and blasphemous contempt the religion professed by almost the whole community is an abuse of that right. Nor are we bound, this is great, I love this statement, nor are we bound by any expression in the Constitution, as some have strangely supposed, either not to punish at all or to punish indiscriminately the like attacks upon the religion of Mohammed or the Grand Lama. And for this plain reason, you know, Islam and whatever the Grand Lama religion is, what is that? I don't know what that is. Whatever it is. They said this, and for this plain reason, this case assumes that we are a Christian people. And the morality of the country is deeply engrafted upon Christianity and not upon the doctrines or worship of those imposters. The Supreme Court calling Mohammed and the Dalai Lama imposters. This was a Christian nation. This was. There is no doubt that America was once a great Christian nation. God did shed His grace on America, and this land was at one time truly America the Beautiful. But that's no longer true. And the fact of the matter today is that America has turned its back on God. And the Bible says that the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. America has forgotten God. America is being turned into hell. And America the Beautiful has truly become America the Babylon. I've got some evidences for you. I've got four main reasons why I believe America is Babylon. And I'm going to talk about what we need to do about it. First of all, first evidence I would offer you that America is Babylon, the daughter of Babylon, as we find in Revelation 18, Isaiah 47, etc., is this. The last days are here. And America is the only economic and military and technological superpower that can fulfill the prophecy of Babylon. It's the only nation on earth that can do it. We've been looking in recent weeks at various reasons to believe that we are indeed in the last days. We looked at several reasons for that. The international effort to create global government system, which, by the way, is currently headquartered at the UN in New York City. We see Israel back on the world stage after 2,000-year absence via the creation of the State of Israel and the Jews back in the land. That, to me, is a sign that we're in the last days. We have technology, both that enables prophetic fulfillment and that demands divine judgment. We talked about the technology, including like the internationally connected electronic banking system, the surveillance system, RFID chip technology, and the global database, enabling the literal fulfillment of the mark of the beast. Well, they will be able to monitor every purchase, every transaction. They have that capability now. They didn't have that before. By the way, where is that developed, America? Who is mass-producing microchips and the little grains of rice to be implanted? America. And then we also have technology that demands divine judgment we looked at a couple of weeks back where man is trying to play Almighty God. We looked at that video about geoengineering with the harp technology and chemtrails, filling the atmosphere with aluminum particulates to control the weather, use it as a means of warfare, man playing God. We saw how these efforts are literally destroying the planet, melting polar ice caps, causing global drought, enabling fulfillment of Revelation 18, chapter 11, verse 18, that says when Jesus comes, He's going to destroy them that destroy the earth. They are destroying the earth. We saw that. Time is short. We're in the last days. The hour is late. The players are on the stage. And the last days are here. The only world power that can fulfill Revelation 18 is America. And so as we just read through Revelation 18. It sounded like America to me. America is it's painfully apparent to me that if the passage is to be fulfilled anytime soon, it will have to be fulfilled by America. America is the merchant nation. The merchant nation that has supplied products and merchandise to the entire world as described right here in this chapter. No other nation on earth has done so. Certainly not Iraq. You know, a lot of expositors today say Iraq over there is Babylon. No, Iraq is not Babylon. Iraq is not the envy of the whole world. Iraq has not supplied all of these goods to the peoples of the world. By the way, there's one reason, very good reason, why Iraq cannot be Babylon. You will read here about the merchants of the earth and the shipping and all this. Iraq has no deep water seaports. Their oil tankers have to park 20 miles offshore to load oil. They don't have any seaports at all. Iraq is not Babylon. America is the merchant nation. It's the only military power that can dictate to and control the kings of the earth or remove them at will if they want to, like we did Saddam Hussein. America has the only truly global military force right now, many times the size of all Europe's military, with 11 aircraft carrier battle groups, 80 submarines, and 1,000 military bases worldwide. America is the only military power that can dictate to and control the kings of the earth, as we see Babylon does. So reason number one, the last days are here. And America is the only economic, technological, and military superpower that can fulfill the prophecy of Babylon. That's reason number one. Reason number two is that, and this I like this, America is the only new nation. It's the only new nation that can fulfill the prophecy of Babylon. Babylon has to be a new nation. I want you to turn back in your Bibles. First turn to Isaiah 47. Isaiah 47. And then we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah 47. This chapter, by the way, many prophecies you see in the Bible, I believe, have what would be termed a double literal fulfillment. This chapter certainly had initial relevance to the contemporary Babylon of Isaiah, but also then it has ultimate secondary literal fulfillment to America, is my belief. Isaiah says, verse 1, "Come down, sit in the dust, O virgin," underlined daughter of Babylon, the daughter of Babylon. Babylon has many daughters. America is the daughter of Babylon at this point in history. Rome was a daughter of Babylon. Alexandria in Egypt was a daughter of Babylon. America now is a daughter of Babylon. "So come down, sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground, there is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones," by the way, we just read about in Revelation 18, "the flour mills, and grind meal, uncover thy locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. I'll take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Sit thou silent, and get thee into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called the Lady of Kingdoms. I was wroth with my people, I polluted mine inheritance, and have given them into thine hand. Thou didst show them no mercy. Upon the ancient hast thou very heavily laid thy yoke." That's what America has done. Thou hast said, upon the ancient, upon, you know, Iraq and Afghanistan over there, thou saidst, "I shall be a lady forever, so that thou didst not lay these things to thine heart, neither did remember the latter end of it. Therefore now hear this, thou that art given to pleasures, that dwellest carelessly." Does that sound like America? Yeah. "That sayest in thine heart, I am and none else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment and one day." Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Sounds a lot like Revelation 18, doesn't it? "The loss of children and widowhood, they shall come upon thee in their perfection for the multitude of thy sorceries and for the great abundance of thine enchantments. Thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. And thou hast said in thine heart, I am and none else beside me. Therefore shall evil come upon thee. Thou shalt not know from whence it riseth. And mischief shall fall upon thee. Thou shalt not be able to put it off. And desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt know." This whole chapter is about America as well, I believe. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 50. Actually, Jeremiah 50 and 51 both, I believe, apply to America together. It talks about the judgment on Babylon in the last days. It talks about an assembly of nations that comes up against them. I believe it also ties in with Ezekiel 38 and 39 relative to the Gog and Magog war. I just want to read a few things here. I'm going to read just verse 1 through 16. And you're going to see something that you maybe hadn't seen before. Jeremiah 50, verse 1. "The word that the Lord spake against Babylon and against the land of the Chaldeans by Jeremiah the prophet. Declare ye among the nations, and publish, and set up a standard. Publish and conceal not. Say, Babylon is taken. Bel is confounded. Merodach is broken in pieces. Her idols are confounded, her images are broken in pieces. For out of the north there cometh up a nation against her, which shall make her land desolate, and none shall dwell therein. They shall remove and they shall depart, both man and beast. Here it says, a nation. In those days, that time, saith the Lord, the children of Israel shall come, and they and the children of Judah together, going and weeping. They shall go and seek the Lord their God. What does that mean? You know, that, I believe that may well refer to the regathering of Israel, 1948 through 1967. They shall ask the way to Zion with their faces thitherward, saying, come, let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten. My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray, and they have turned them on their way on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. All that found them have devoured them. Their adversary said, we offend not, because they have sinned against the Lord, the habitation of justice, even the Lord, the hope of their fathers. Remove out of the midst of Babylon, and go forth out of the land of the Chaldeans, and be as the he-goats before the flocks. For lo, I will raise and cause to come up against Babylon an assembly of great nations. First it was a nation, now it's an assembly of great nations. I believe it was Russia and her Arab allies from the north country. And they shall set themselves in array against her, and from thence shall she be taken. Their arrows shall be as of a mighty expert man. None shall return in vain. Chaldea shall be a spoil. All that spoil her shall be satisfied, saith the Lord. Because ye were glad, because ye rejoiced, O ye destroyers of mine heritage, because ye are grown fat as the heifer at grass, and bellow as bulls. Your mother, Babylon, shall be sore confounded. That may refer to Britain as well. She that bare you shall be ashamed. Behold, the hindermost of the nations shall be a wilderness, a dry land, and a desert. Because the wrath of the Lord, it shall not be inhabited, but shall be wholly desolate. Every one that goeth by Babylon shall be astonished and hiss at her plagues. I'll stop there. We can read on. It's all about the destruction of Babylon. I want to point out something to you in this passage. This says Babylon, this particular Babylon, this, the daughter of Babylon, is a new nation. I want you to look in verse 12. Your mother, whether it's Babylon or Britain, shall be sore confounded. She that bare you shall be ashamed. Behold, the hindermost, or the hindermost, of the nation shall be a wilderness, a dry land, and a desert. That word, hindermost, I'm certainly no Hebrew student. But the Hebrew word is akarith. It's Strong's number H310. It means the last or end, hence the future. Now, this is what Strong says. It means the last or end, hence the future, also posterity. Last, latter, end time. These are Strong's words. Last, latter, end time. This is a new nation. This is the newest of the nations. This is the latest of the nations. You see what I'm saying? This cannot apply to the original Babylon. This is talking about a new nation that came up and has become the daughter of Babylon, the hindermost of the nations. By the way, that means the most recent of the nations, doesn't it? That's really what that word means, the most recent of the nations. In the history of empires, America is the most recent of empires, is it not? There's no question about that. America is the only nation, I believe, that is any kind of a world power that can fulfill the prophecy of Babylon here in Jeremiah chapter 50. Because America is the hindermost, or the hindermost, of the nations. Another reason I would give would be the international movement and drive to create a global government is number three. Number two is America is the only new nation that can fulfill the prophecy of Babylon, the only new nation. Number three is the international movement and drive to create a global government is clearly being led, spearheaded, and funded by America. There's no question about that. It's no coincidence that the UN headquarters is located in New York City, along with that statue of the Whore of Babylon in the harbor. It's no coincidence that America is the developer and perpetrator of all the technology referred to a moment ago that enables prophetic fulfillment and that demands divine judgment. Electronically connected banking system, surveillance system, all that stuff. HARP technology, geoengineering technology, all developed and perpetrated by American companies. Really, this whole move, you know, to create a global government has been run and spearheaded by America. I don't need to go into detail. You guys know that. I'm not going to go into detail. I'm going to leave it at that because it's getting a little bit late. I've got a lot more to go into. Number four, I'm just going to tell you what number four is, and I'll come back and support it second hour. Point number four is that America's institutions and national symbols are intentionally patterned after Egyptian and Roman deities that derive and descend from the Babylonian religion. We're going to come back to that second hour. America's institutions and national symbols are intentionally patterned after Egyptian and Roman deities that derive and descend from the Babylonian religion. We'll come back to that second hour.